Our epistle for this third Sunday in Lent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you, as become saints. For obscenity or foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this, and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. At that time Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowd marveled. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils. And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. But he said, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, as you well know, we have taken upon ourselves the theme of meditating on the sorrowful mysteries during this season of Lent. The first Sunday we talked about God's will, the acceptance of God's will, especially in remembering our Lord, praying to the Heavenly Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. Last Sunday we talked about denying ourselves when we considered the scourging at the pillar and how we must be willing to make sure that the appetites are kept in control and they don't control us. We considered the scourging where our Lord suffered the great humility and shame, but also the great pain of the flagella as his flesh was torn from his body. Today, we are wanting to consider the crowning with thorns. This is pretty easy when we consider the crown of thorns was placed on his head. Of course, in mockery of his proclaimed kingship, but also on account of all those inadequacies that we have within our mind, how we put things out of order, and we somehow try to justify it. The first Sunday of Lent, the acceptance of God's will. Second Sunday of Lent, denying ourselves. This Sunday, we're here to consider the commitment to our goal, the confirmation in the acceptance of God's will, and put it into action. But that starts here in the mind, intellect, and free will. The intellect pursues the truth, and when he finds it, embraces the truth totally. And this is where we are called to examine ourselves. It's easy to examine our fellow brothers in Christ, and sisters in Christ, but that's to no purpose. We are here to examine ourselves. What is it that you believe, and how do you believe it? Who are you? It's a good question. We often think that we are what people think we are. People think we're great, then we're good. Foolish. If we feel good about ourselves, then we're good. Foolish. How many times, when we think about it, have we lied to ourselves? About things, small things, big things. No, so a true examination of ourselves is to see ourselves as God sees us. And how does God see you? Because therein lies the truth of what type of person you are. Christ says, there's only two options. You're either with me or you are against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Now, the scattering and the camp that is not with Christ varies in a vast variety. You have those that are pretty close to following Christ, and then those that are really far away from following Christ, and every category in between. And then you have those that follow Christ. And there's not categories. There's just one section. You either have the fiat, thy will be done, thy will be done. Fiat voluntas tua, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Be it done unto me according to thy word, not my whim or want, but thy word. Or non serviam, I will not serve. Now, the non serviam can take on many different forms, shapes, and sizes. But the fiat has only one definite. That's why we must see if we are followers of Christ, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Are we with or without God? Being with God opens us up to the influence of His grace, and then we can live a virtuous life, a saintly life, a holy life. But you can have no holiness unless you have God. The main obstacle to a virtuous life is pride. It's the root of all vice, the source of all sin. What is pride? Pride is selfishness, basically, in one word. Note the difference between Christ and Satan. Christ says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Satan doesn't say, follow me. He says, do what you will, is the whole of the law. The satanic philosopher Aleister Crowley wrote this out in word in his book. And saying this is the way of Satan. So when we have that type of mentality, we must admit to ourselves of what camp we are part of. Do what you want is the whole of the law. We live in a day and age where we can justify things by what other people think of us, what the majority of people are doing, and that's nonsense. That's spiritual blindness. Spiritual stupidity. No, we must care what God thinks. And we must care to do God's will. not just in word, but in deed and in truth every day. And no one can make that decision for us but us individually. You know, a telltale sign of a prideful person is that misery loves company. Why do you think it is that the devil goes about trying to get us to do the same thing he did? To live the life of non-serviam, I will not serve. But I think, I feel, I want. And try to get as many people to agree with us as possible, and then we must be right. Nonsense. When we care too much of what we want, we are not people living according to God's will. When we care too much of what others think, the same applies. And so we need to have first a mental commitment to God's will, to God's way, to God's truth. Now here it's important for us to highlight something that we find ourselves in this day and age dealing with. We know that great events have happened in the church in recent years of great destruction. We see it. Those that don't see it don't want to see it. But Christ says, they who have eyes to see, let them see, and they who have ears to hear, let them hear. What does that mean? That means we need to do some study. We need to see what Christ and the church has taught consecutively through the ages, and understand that the modern church, the modern Catholic Church, doesn't collaborate with that. If for some reason we have to say that the modern church collaborates with what the church has taught in the past, then we can say the truth has changed. And if we say the truth has changed, then we must say there's no God, because God is truth. And God is unchangeable. And if God's changeable, then he's not God. So we might as well just all pack our bags and go. This is why Christ made it so absolute and clear to us. You are either with me or you are against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. It's not my gospel. People say, well, that's pretty hard, Father. I remember one time I gave a sermon. I was getting pretty riled up and I was raising my voice, and someone says, why are you yelling? To be emphatic? To draw attention to it? Take a look at the blindness of human frailty. You can see it in today's gospel presented to us, and we see the same thing happening today. We have our Lord doing an exorcism. Now, as many of you know, I was involved in one major exorcism in my life, and never will be too soon if ever I have to do another one again. But there's a little hope that I have, and it's really small. A little hope in that many would be able to experience and see the devil face to face, because it might change them. It might change their faith. And I say very little because it probably won't. You look at our Lord casts out a devil, does a miracle, the dumb man, made him able to speak. The crowd marveled. Ooh. And then what happens? Some of them said, oh, he's doing that by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And then others says, you know what? We need a sign. Are you kidding me? He just expelled the devil. And it's not the first time that he's done it. This same person cured the lepers, gave sight to the blind, cured other diseases, raised the dead, but we want a sign. Christ starts talking to them about the kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms, that's it. And Christ starts to elaborate on the kingdom of the devil, since they say that by Beelzebub he casts out devils. He goes, it doesn't work that way. In the course of the discussion, this is when our Lord speaks up and says, he who is not with me is against me, he who does not gather with me scatters. Pretty emphatic. But there's something to be underlined here. It's our choice. Nobody makes a choice for you but you. It doesn't matter how many people you get to agree with you. It doesn't matter how many people like what you say or don't like what you say. It matters what God thinks. What does God think of you? Then Christ continues to talk about how the workings of the demonic are. Goes about through wildest places in search of finding rest. And then finding none, goes back to the place that he left. Finds it all adorned and nice and clean. And takes seven spirits more evil than himself. And the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. What's he talking about? This is giving a warning to us. When we go to confession, we get clean by God's grace and mercy and goodness, and then we go back into the same old, or we don't fill ourselves with a commitment to God's will. We don't confirm our want to follow Christ. Interesting, when we come to the end of today's gospel, for this Sunday, we have a lady, she lifts up her voice and she praises his mother and she says, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee." And all her says, "Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." Our blessed mother wasn't blessed because she had a child. She was blessed because she heard the word of God and kept it. She said her fiat and lived it. Therefore, it's important for us as we continue through Lent to make sure that we are engaging the faculties of our soul, our intellect and free will properly. Our intellect in finding, searching, and wanting the truth. Some people claim to be very great intellectuals, but they don't want the truth. They want their own agenda. The truth is beyond agenda, because the truth is, because God is. And the two are synonymous. And once the intellect finds the truth, truly wanting the truth, the free will must choose it totally. If you have a partial truth, you have a lie. You can't have part of the truth. You have to have the whole truth and nothing but the truth to have the truth. Otherwise, you don't have it. And what does Christ say? The night before he died, he tells his apostles, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Either we believe it and we live that way, or we don't. This is what we are called to do during Lent, to clean up these things and to make sure that we are putting first things first. God first, always first. Our faith isn't just a pacifier that we use on Sunday. No, we believe in the truth because we believe in Christ, and we make it a way of life. One way. Christ's way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.